Wow, that, praise God, hallelujah. You don't know it, but to me, your introduction was confirmation for what I was praying about and considering for tonight. And Father, we just bow in your presence. We thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you, God, for who you are and all that you're doing and will do, God. And thank you that you call us your children, God. And thank you for the work that you're going to manifest and do, the faith that you provide for us in Christ. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. I had a distinct impression on what to bring tonight, and Josh's introduction just sets the stage perfectly. Because he shared with you a miracle that God had done in the presence of the body of Christ. And that's what I want to talk about, that God is still in the business of miracles. In Malachi chapter 4, Malachi is writing and he speaks of a time in verse 1 that's going to come, and I believe he is referring to the last days of what that's recorded in the Word. And then he makes this statement, which I believe applies to all of us in terms of what our expectation can be and should be. He says, "Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." And when I think of the word and the phrase healing in his wings, I think of Isaiah 53 and the word peace, where it says that the chastisement of our peace was upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word peace there is translated from the word shalom. And in the word shalom, coupled with the word sozo, which is translated as, in this case, salvation, both of them have the definition that our strength and our lives will be renewed like that of the young lions and the eagle's wings. And the eagle's wings have a unique characteristic about them in that they go through a molting process and it produces new wings in that process. And God is in the business of regeneration. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ in Romans 1 and 17, because it is what? The power of salvation to all those that believe. And the word salvation, the word sozo, contains so much into it in terms that it literally speaks of life and regeneration and renewal. The life of Christ as we become born again of the Spirit, but also a life of regeneration of the healing powers of God. And it's just amazing. Sozo shalom. Salvation, peace, healing. For by his stripes we have been healed. In Isaiah 53 verse 11. I'll quote that just for I want to go here in this. I was listening to this is what I really believe. I believe God wants to do and outpours his Spirit in such a way that not only does he answer our prayers, but he answers them with manifestations of miracles and deliverance and provision. Do you have that faith tonight? You know, to enter into the realm of faith that I'm thinking of, it's going to take the outpouring of the Spirit of God within us, and it's going to take for us, as we go forward, to step outside of our understanding and really trust God. Because I believe it's the heart and the nature of God. "Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, the Lord Jesus Christ." You know, when this was a prophecy in respect to when Jesus would come on the scene in his earthly ministry, they would recognize who he was by the miracles and especially the healings that he would perform. John the Baptist was in prison, and he was in a moment of doubt, if you will, and consideration of, I really got it right, is one way that you could put it. And he sent his messengers to Jesus to see if Jesus would answer him and say, tell him through his messengers if Jesus really was the Messiah. And Jesus didn't answer him directly, but rather told his messengers to go back to John and say, the blind receive their sight, the dead are raised. And he went on with a list of the things that were happening that Jesus himself was doing. And if you look at it in the first consideration of it, you think that, like, boy, he's being quite rude not answering John's request and question. But in reality, if you study it further, you find out that he was paying John respect because John understood the scriptures. And John understood that it was prophesied and written in the scriptures of what the Messiah would do. And so when his messengers come back with what he was performing and doing, John got his answer. He had to think a little bit, but he got his answer. And I'm sure that gave him the peace that passes understanding from that point on. I taught on Wednesday nights for the last couple years, I did a series on healing and study and focus onto it, believing God for the miraculous, and I hope that and trust that God has used it to increase our faith, those that were here and listened to the messages. And I'm continuing that. Tonight I'm diving right back into that realm because God is able. Thinking of all the requests that were presented and has been presented to our pastor and to the body to pray, we see so much that God is doing, but just thinking about the different needs here that were presented tonight. You can tell I'm a little excited. And when I get like this, sometimes I have to wrestle with the words. But you know what? We got a sister that has a baby that needs to do some moving. And I think of a woman in the Bible that had a baby in her womb that jumped for joy when Jesus showed up. And he did some moving in the womb. And there's the key phrase I want you to focus on. When Jesus showed up. And Jesus is here tonight. And don't you let your natural mind think for a minute that God cannot perform a miracle of moving a baby in its womb. I think in that phrase, Jesus showed up. Do you know that Jesus is still in the business of showing up? I mean, in a literal sense. The impression that I had in my spirit this morning when I woke up and started thinking about Wednesday's afternoon Bible study and tonight was, consider the miracles that I have done. Consider the miracles that you've witnessed in your life. And bring this to the body and have them meditate on it. And rehearse it in their minds and let the Holy Spirit, if you will, open yourselves up to remember what Jesus has done and in turn remember and think about his faithfulness and that he is also in Malachi 4 or 3 is stated that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. We had a sister in our body, Anise Young. She's gone on to be with the Lord. She was a precious saint, a prayer warrior. And she started out in the ministry back in the early Lenox days of the Bible Speaks. She had a daughter that had totally disowned her, wanted nothing to do with her, was involved in alcohol and drugs to a certain extent, had moved as far away from her as she possibly could move from her. And for years, would not talk to her, would not return her calls, would not return her initiations. And Anise prayed for her and prayed for her and prayed for her. And And then one day she got a call, unexpected. And it was her daughter on the other end of the line. And she says, Ma, I want you to know, I went to the refrigerator to have a drink. And when I opened the door, a hand was placed on my shoulder. And I turned around, and it was Jesus. Jesus showed up. And she said, Ma, I want you to know, please forgive me. And I want you to know that I've been saved. And I want our relationship to be restored. And to make a long story short, that daughter came home and actually ended up caring for her niece in her final days up until she passed. What happened? God showed up. Just like he showed up to save that girl in answer to the body's prayers in that sea overseas in a faraway land. He doesn't just do those things there, he does it here. I had an uncle, actually not my uncle, my wife's uncle, in Tarpon Springs, Florida, in his 80s, Catholic by faith, recently remarried to a born-again believer who was slightly charismatic, to say the least. He had nursed his wife and another individual in the family with cancer and battled, and they lost that battle. Then he himself come down with cancer, lymphoma Hodgkin's. He was in the hospital. The doctors were ministering to him, just comforting him in the battle that he was in. And I think of the men that were mentioned here tonight and some women in my mind as well, battling cancer. Progressive stages, just like his. Stage 4 he was in, they were ministering to him to comfort him. That's all the hope they gave him, was the fact that the medical field could comfort him. They wanted to put him in an MRI and observe him, injecting dye to see just how far the cancer had spread. And he was claustrophobic, and he began to pray because he knew he was going to be in there for a while. Now, this is documented. True. I've investigated it before I ever bring it to the pulpit. Tarpon Springs, Florida. I've even checked with local medical staff to see if it's even possible for them to observe what took place, and they said, yes, it is. He's in the MRI machine. It's like a tube if you're not familiar with it. And he's praying because he figures he's going to flip out over the being claustrophobic. And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up. And Jesus bent over him and reached out and touched his face. And he began to wipe his eyes. And he says, I'm going to heal you of cancer, and you're never going to have to deal with it again in this life. And he began to weep. And as he wept, almost like honey came out of his eyes and built up on his face and his cheek. Jesus stayed with him until they rolled him out, and then he disappeared. And the doctors and the staff that were there, the whole team met him as they rolled him out of the MRI. And they asked him, what happened to you while you were in there? And he was afraid to tell them. And the nurse began to clean the honey-like substance off of his eyes. And they says, while you were in there, we watched the cancer leave through your eyes. Jesus showed up. I was with a man. I'm thinking now of miracles that I have observed that God has done as a result of believing God and praying and looking to God and being reminded of what he can do. I've shared the story many times from this pulpit on a Wednesday night with Roatan George on a missionary trip, and how I knelt with a man that was an alcoholic, a heroin addict, and into every drug you could name of that was destroying his life. And I knelt with him in a public square with an audience of the whole village watching. And I knelt down with him and holding his hands, and I could feel the energy of God come from the middle of my spine, through my shoulders, out through my arms into him. And when I got done praying for him and with him, he was completely sober, smelled normal. Before he stunk with marijuana and alcohol, so he reeked as well as sweat. Completely stone sober, delivered, completely delivered on the spot. Jesus showed up, scared out of his mind because he thought the missionary performed some kind of voodoo on him. Jesus showed up. We have at least two men that I can think of that are in the Wednesday afternoon Bible study that have the testimony that they were lost in alcoholism and God spoke to them and delivered them and never have touched a drink since. Never even been tempted. Delivered. When they're at the point of death in terms of the effects of alcohol. Adrian Rogers likes to use this expression about alcohol. And it's stuck with me, and I'll use it here tonight. So I didn't originate this. When it comes to alcohol, first the man takes the drink. Then the drink takes a drink. And then the drink takes a man. Don't ever underestimate the depth of danger in that substance. I want nothing to do with it. But Jesus can show up, and Jesus still does show up, and Jesus is still in the business of doing miracles. And I didn't share that to toot my own horn. I'm just telling you what I've experienced with God when God wants to move in the miraculous way. And we are to cultivate and have an expectation of God, Psalm 62:5. We are to study the Word and know what the Word says, because the words are life to those that find them in Proverbs 4:22. And they are health to all their flesh. God is able, God is willing, and God wants us to believe. We need to develop and cultivate and let God build our faith. Even when you have experienced praying and believing and it hasn't happened, go to God and let the Holy Spirit build your faith for what God is able to do and still wants to do. And I taught this afternoon, I'm just going to summarize the whole message because I don't have time for it tonight. Don't take it for granted. Don't think that when illness or disease or whatever comes into your life comes in, that it's just automatically from God. No, until God tells you differently, you resist it. And you go to God in prayer and you ask him to deliver you from it. You go to God in prayer and you build your faith by studying the scriptures, because faith comes by hearing, hearing how by the word of God. Faith comes also by the testimonies of what we hear about what God has done for others. And in the Psalms, it talks about us rehearsing this, the testimonies of the Lord. And I've shared this before, but when you look at testimonies, the word testimonies, and that's spoken of in the Psalms. The idea there is that testimonies are for the purpose of building and planting a seed of faith that will reproduce itself in the recipient. And that's one of the reasons why the Word of God says, oh, that we would praise the Lord and give voice and repeat and share the testimonies of what God has done for us and for others. Why? So that we can build and let the Holy Spirit cultivate and build a spirit of tenacity. Tenacity, I'm thinking of tenacity in the form of never, ever give up. Not until God tells you to. I mentioned Paul, and Paul dealing with the thorn in his side, and many believe that it was dealing with his eyes. Paul three times sought the Lord for deliverance. And it wasn't until God says, my grace is sufficient for you, that apparently Paul stopped asking. So until you hear something like that, don't stop asking. Until God brings in the deliverance of perhaps the ultimate healing in the form of taking someone to be with him in deliverance, don't stop asking. Because even that is an answer to prayer. And an ultimate in healing. Ultimate in deliverance. I think of I mentioned this and I'll mention it again. Why? Because God wants it repeated. We have a couple in the Broad Alban Church that were struggling with conceiving and having children. Had two diseases that were being dealt with, and the doctors said that they would never be able to carry a child to the fruition of birth. Mark and I went out there and we did a service and an emphasis on healing. And the expression was, we're going to have a baby. And sure enough, not only did she conceive and have a baby boy, but she's just gave birth to a baby girl. One of the elderly women in that service that afternoon prayed with the elders as we invited the body to come forward and pray with the elders who had been fasting in prayer for that service and was healed of carpal tunnel on the spot. Complete documented healing. She was set up for, Pastor Lance was telling me that she was contemplating and under counsel for to have surgery to deal with it. She was healed and delivered. Come back here the next Sunday, I think it was. Ellen Riccio and I prayed for a girl named Amy who was delivered right here of a chronic ailment. God wants us to pray. God wants us to believe because our God is God and our God is able and our God is willing. Perhaps the reason that the permission has been given for many of the ailments that are going on is to test and encourage us to build our faith and to pray. And to do everything that the doctors want us to do, but at the same time, pray and believe God for the miraculous. In James writes that if any man be sick, let him come to the elders and have the elders anoint them with oil, praying for the sick. And it goes on to say, now listen carefully and follow me because I'm going to shorten up a doctrine that would, well, actually, if I was to elaborate on it, would probably change some understandings of this passage. But the prayer of faith will heal the sick. And real quick, in the original Greek, the Greek word that's translated anointing for anointing with oil is different than the other Greek word that's translated to anointing. One deals with an office and the anointing of a person to establish and identify them as being placed and anointed in the office. Jesus was anointed for this purpose with this recognition and his anointing when he stepped into the synagogue to read out from Isaiah. He says, I have been anointed for such a time as this. And that was the anointing of him being established in the office. The anointing in James is the anointing, it's the word is, if I can pronounce it correctly, is olivita. And it speaks of the olive oil. And it also speaks of, and here's what will maybe give you some fresh insight if you're not aware of this. It speaks of a medical procedure and practice that the Greeks and the Romans used during the competition of the games and in medical practice. And literally, they use an olive oil, a certain type of olive and formulation. And when the Greek competitors would get hurt, they would rub them down with this olive oil for medicinal purposes. And so I've always been taught and have taught and believed up until last year that, and it can be appropriated this way, that the anointing of oil, when you call from the elders, is a picture of God's love being poured out through the elders, representing the authority and the love of God for the body of Christ. But the better understanding and translation of that passage is basically when you study in full the Olivita and its practice, what James, I believe, is really saying is, if you're sick, let the elders do appropriate, or a doctor appropriate the medical appropriation for what's known at the time, and then have the elders pray, and the prayer of faith shall heal the sick. You do both. Why did I share all that? Well, I can try to figure it out, but the Holy Spirit's moving, and basically you do both. If you're sick, you go to the doctor and you take advantage of God's miracles and blessing and modern technology in the medical field, and at the same time you go to the elders and you pray and you ask others to pray, and the prayer of faith will bring the increase and heal the sick. Okay. So I could go on and on with miracles, and this, I want to put this out to you to challenge you in an encouraging way to think about going back to those times when you either witnessed or heard of, or maybe were the recipient of God's faithfulness and his ability and who he is to heal or to deliver or to provide or change things by showing up. Think on those things. Let the Holy Spirit bring them to your forefront of your mind to meditate, and let the Holy Spirit use it to build your expectation. Build your faith, build your hope in him, and expect God to do the miraculous. To expect God to do the miraculous, to let him build that faith. Develop a spirit of tenacity. Matthew 10:11, and maybe 11:12. My diabetes does that to me once in a while. Since the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent lay siege to it for themselves. The woman in Luke chapter 8 with the issue of blood had an issue of blood for years and years and years. She had spent all of her expenditure onto it, had been to all the physicians in the land. She was broke because of it. And she heard about Jesus. And she went, and Jesus was in the area, and she pressed through the crowd, and it says she reached out and touched his garments. And that virtue went out from him. What is virtue? Virtue is the essence of the nature of God and the power of salvation. Virtue is translated from the word deudemos, which is also defined as excellency of soul. The power of God. The power of God is in Jesus and is here tonight to be released, to be healed, if you will reach out and reach out for it like she did with a spirit of tenacity and faith. And if you need help with that faith, ask him. Ask him for it. He will help you. The illustration is in the Word. Let God deal with any doubt or unbelief. Because we're talking about God Almighty. The God who created all that we understand and know out of nothing. The God who's able to speak and change things. The God who's able to show up and touch us. And yes, he does show up on occasion. Especially when he wants to do a... generally speaking, Pastor Stevens used to teach that God does miracles generally when there's a new ministry starting or a new work of God. He will pour out his spirit in miracles and deliverance and provision in order to bring confirmation and show that he's behind it. Not that we need to demand it, but but we can expect it. I can go on with more testimonies of the miraculous and God doing the miraculous. But I'm going to leave it where it is and let the Holy Spirit challenge you to let the Holy Spirit work with you in your spirit to again reflect on those altars of remembrance. I hope you have established some. When God has moved and he's answered prayer and he's done a miracle, and in his faithfulness, you establish an altar of remembrance. We need to be doing that when God moves. So, you know, I started out in tears tonight because I've been broken for quite a while. And I know it's the Spirit of God. Broken by things that have been going on in my own personal life, but mostly in just the awareness that God is here and he's in control and he's real and he does love us. And so I just want to encourage you, I keep using that word, to believe God, to don't give up. Challenge what's challenging you. And reach out in tenacity. Reach out in expectation. Reach out in faith, the right, precious faith that may be in your eyes and understanding the size of a seed of a mustard seed, so small. But yet Jesus says it can do so much. And not in our own faith, but in the faith of Christ within us. Because I believe that this is the message of the Holy Spirit for us in the church tonight and those that are going to be listening to these messages. I believe that God he's already doing, and he is doing, and he will do. And we can go so far as to call things that are not as if they are in faith and believe God, give thanks in prayer, and have an expectation knowing that he's in control. I don't have time to balance the message. You balance it. Okay? And in fact, don't let your doctrinal understanding limit you in believing God for what God can do. We all have blind spots. We all have areas where we think we understand and we don't have the full picture or the understanding. But in this case, in the case for believing God for miracles, you may have to step out in a little self-abandonment activity and take action. And if you will, become a little Pentecostal in your action. All right? I say that in a fun way. I hope you don't take me seriously and become offended by it. But why? Because I believe it's what the Spirit is ministering. And so let's pray. Father, in Jesus' precious and holy name, I can't put into words only by your grace what you are desiring to impart through your Holy Spirit. But each and every one here has an ability to receive what your Holy Spirit is ministering, and that's what I pray for. I pray you would go far beyond what I'm even thinking or speaking or trying to attempt. And through your Holy Spirit, give us the seed thoughts, the confirmation, the encouragement to operate in a faith in Hebrews 11:1, that is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence for that which is not seen. Father, that we may possess what you have for us. And we know, Lord, Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please you. But he that comes to you must believe that you are, or is, and that you are a rewarder of those that diligently seek you. And we want to diligently seek you for the same. We want to see the manifestation of those miracles. The men that we prayed for and the women that are facing cancer, God. The back ailments and the surgeries that are under consideration, God. For your increase, where surgery is undertaken, God, we're asking tonight that you would bring the increase to the point that of full recovery without complications and down the road, further suffering. And Father, we just pray believing that that's your will and your desire. Whatever the need is, God, you know the unspoken requests of those that are listening. Help them to let your Spirit develop the faith to receive it and the provision for it, the deliverance that's needed, the miracle. You know, some of the people that we've mentioned tonight that we prayed for are already miracles and from natural viewpoint shouldn't be with us. And they've had added attack on their lives. Father, we stand and ask. In fact, would you stand with me as we're praying? And stand, if you will, in proximity for those that you're thinking of. Not only for your own personal walk, which is fine, but Father, we pray tonight for those that we're thinking of that need your touch, need you to show up. And Father, that includes our families and their need for salvation, Lord, and the miracle of healing there that comes with the reception of Jesus Christ and his gospel. And if you're listening and watching on tape and you haven't received the healing of your soul and the reception of the gift of salvation, would you pray with us and pray, dear Jesus, save me, deliver me, heal me. I receive what you've done for me when you died on the cross and shed your blood and gave your body for my sins. And I do it by faith in response to the invitation and the gospel as I've heard it. Not only here, but in the work that you've done to bring me to this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Father, we ask for the miraculous. We ask for deliverances. We ask for provision. We ask that you would show up and continue to show up in a manifestation increase of what we're being encouraged by your Spirit to believe you for tonight. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.